Remaker's Mark, Episode 43, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in Episode 43, where we are discussing Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight? And to go with the theme of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, what is your favorite con movie?
I am super great. Glad to be here. Super excited to be here. My favorite con movie, or the one that just popped into my head 10 seconds ago, is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Ooh, interesting. That's a curveball.
It is a little bit of a curveball.
Yeah.
But my take on it is that we, the audience, are being conned the entire time.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I think you could probably say that of most Monty Python things in general.
But sure.
I like that.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. I like it. Good, weird pick.
Happy to help.
Jeremy Nilsson.
Two of three.
We'll take it. Jeremy Nilsson, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite con movie?
I'm outstanding, and I would have to pick a movie that I've used for this podcast very, very early on, and that is The Sting.
Nice. Good choice.
Nice.
I wondered if anybody would go there.
I've heard of it.
Anybody did, and it was me.
Nice. Well done. Lee Schaffhausen, how are you tonight, and what is your favorite con movie?
I'm great, and I couldn't really think of a con movie because I don't know a lot of them, but I will say an episode in season 6 of Community is an homage to The Sting, and it's hilarious. So
nice.
I'll go with that one.
Awesome. Good choice.
I need
to watch that show.
You do?
Yes, you do.
I feel like I've seen a third of the series at your house just in random happenstance goings on, but yeah. I've never watched the whole thing through, and I feel like that has to happen.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, totally.
All right, deal. Mark Josting, how are you, and what is your favorite con movie?
I'm great, thanks. My favorite con movie is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
It's a pretty good con movie, I'll give you that.
Thank you. But I kid, it's a play on words, you see.
Oh,
wow. No, my favorite con movie is
Please do
Snatch.
The con thing. Please do the Kirk con thing.
Ma'am.
We didn't. You
Mark!
Didn't.
Mark!
I wasn't talking to you.
Too late.
No, my actual favorite con movie is Snatch, the Guy Ritchie film from 2000.
Excellent. Nice. Good choice.
Thank you.
Did you see they're making a TV show of that? Did I send that trailer out?
What? I can't remember. I did see that.
Yeah.
Snatch 2. Yeah.
It looks pretty decent.
Snatch 2, The Wrath of Khan.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Mark, I'm a little upset with you. This is Kyle. I will be your host this fine evening. I'm a little upset with you because I was going to say that my favorite con movie is Con Air by playing on words, but you stole it with Wrath of Khan, so I'm very upset.
I don't know.
But how can you be upset when you're talking about Con Air, really? I mean, come on.
And it's not really a play on words. It's using the same word.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, man.
It's the same half word, which actually ends up filling out to be a completely different word. Convict instead of
right
con.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
Whatever. How can you be mad at Nicolas Cage's finest acting ever?
Put the bunny back.
Why couldn't you just
the
put
box.
The bunny back?
No, I will say probably The Grifters, which I think we're going to talk about later. I love that movie like crazy. So that's my actual favorite con movie. But Con Air is a very close second.
Nicolas Cage as Forrest Gump.
With the worst haircut ever. Oh, Nicolas Cage. What can you do? All right, so moving on to brighter things, namely Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which is the movie we were discussing today. Andy, can you give us a little summary? You know what? I'm going to take that back. Before we do that, Jer,
hey!
It's been a while.
Aww.
Jer, would you mind giving us a Remaker's Mark recommendation?
Absolutely.
Recommending
I would love to. Thank you for continuing to send the discussion my way very slowly. I have been listening and watching a podcast/video series by the name of Shut Up and Sit Down as of late. I am, as many of the podcasters are, a big board game fan, and I play board games more than I do just about anything these days. And Shut Up and Sit Down is two British blokes who podcast about board games and other just random talking to each other hijinks. But they also put out videos that review board games. They are probably in the board game review category, the most well-produced and funniest board game reviews out there. So if you have any sort of inkling to play board games or would like to get into the hobby, go to shutupandsitdown.com, Shut Up and Sit Down podcast and videos. They do an excellent job of explaining board games, how excited they are about them. And they're just really, really funny, and they have a great British sense of humor. And they are the ones that I go to when I see a new game coming out and I want to know if it's going to be good or not. So that is my recommend.
Nice. I can't believe I've never heard of that, but I'm really excited to check that out.
Yeah, nice recommend.
Thank you.
Good work.
I subscribed to the podcast while you were talking about it.
Nice. Good work. Now, Andy, on to you for real this time. Would you mind giving us a summary of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and then maybe we can talk about our history a little bit?
You know I would. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is a 1988 film directed by Frank Oz, in which Michael Caine as Lawrence Jameson and Steve Martin as Freddie Benson star as two con men in a pissing contest to see who is the best liar in the French Riviera. Loser has to leave town. In walks Janet Colgate, played by Glenn Headley, an American heiress who seems like the perfect target for their shenanigans. Hilarity ensues. Jared, this was your pick. Tell us why.
It was. This movie is right smack dab in the middle of those 80s comedies that men of a certain age, which I think is us, at least I know it's me, absolutely loved when it came out and the years following it. It's infinitely quotable. It is, it's got Steve Martin at his Steve Martiniest, just kind of right in the midst of his prime. But it falls right in that category with Three Amigos and The Burbs and even like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Back to the Future and like that whole like 80s swath of just fun quotable movies, and I just love it. I didn't know it was a remake. The original's not as good, according to me, but this one just holds up. It stands the test of time. I could watch it anytime with people and just enjoy the hell out of it. So hell out of it.
What is the original film that this is remade of?
I think I talked about it in the last one, but I'll get that information and I'll get back to you.
Thank you. I will echo Jer's statements and that this was in that swath of movies that was infinitely rewatchable. I owned, I owned a VHS copy at one point, probably a DVD copy too. And I just loved the back and forth between the two main characters to see who is making fun of whom and how neither one has an advantage for a very long time. And I loved that play between the two of them.
The original was Bedtime Story, which came out in 1964, starring Marlon Brando, David Niven, and Shirley Jones.
What?
Yeah. So
I feel like we have to watch that now.
Take a look at that one. It's largely the same plot. I mean, it's Lawrence Jameson and Freddie Benson and Janet Colgate. So I think it's a pretty faithful original to its counterpart, or the counterpart was faithful to the original, I guess is probably more accurate.
Assuming time travel did not happen, which is a pretty big assumption, but
the original movie even had a Fanny Eubank. That's amazing.
Nice. Rewatching this, and I don't know how many times I've seen it. This may be like third or fourth time, but rewatching it, it made me realize just how many lines that get quoted in and amongst our friend group here is from this movie. It's insane. It's truly insane. In a good way. In a very good way. All right, cool. So, as usual, in the first episode of our discussion of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, we are going to recast the film. We have three major characters and, gosh, how many? Three? Yeah, three minor characters as well. So starting us off on the major character side of things is the role of Janet. And Lee, tell us about Janet.
Well, Janet is introduced as the innocent mark of our two con artists' competition. She appears to be a wealthy heiress, but as time goes on, we find out that there's much more to her story. This was the first character that I cast, not because I thought it was easy, but because I thought, you know, Lawrence Jameson and Freddie Benson kind of carry the movie, but Janet Colgate is sort of the, I guess, the heart and soul of the story, up to a certain point anyway. So I wanted to make sure that I got the right person who had that really sunny disposition. I kind of vacillated between two different actresses, and finally landed, I decided with, Melissa Benoist. I think the proper pronunciation is Melissa Benoit, but it's American, so she says Benoist. People might know her from the current CW series Supergirl.
Oh, nice.
In which she plays Kara Danvers, and she's pretty great in that. Season 2 is going on right now, and it's infinitely better than Season 1, so I recommend that.
Wow. But Season 1 was still pretty good.
It was, but yeah, Season 2 is even better. So,
Lee, I'm happy really to see. I'm happy to see that you're finally choosing someone from Glee.
Yeah, I knew you would around. Be. I knew you would.
That
be,
makes
yes.
me happy.
Well, fantastic.
And I was gonna say that, you know, in spite of her being in Glee, I picked her for this. But I think, you know, she's just got this really great, like, I guess, optimistic, like, essence about her, and there's a sort of innocence in that too. She has a great smile, she has a really infectious laugh, and I think she would be completely believable as this sort of, you know, innocent mark throughout the story. I also picked her because I think that she's one of those actresses who has sort of a neutral look and can be made to look like anybody, I guess, with just, you know, the right hair and makeup. She can look very, very different. If you Google her name and look at the images and just the different hairstyles and stuff, she looks like a completely different person.
Yeah, she's got a lot of looks. Call.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally. She's like one of those actresses like Meryl Streep that just has, you know, she's the actress of a thousand faces. So.
She can do anything.
Yep. And she can sing.
Including sing, as we have determined.
Not that it matters for this role, but yeah.
You're really campaigning hard to get Andy's vote, bringing up Meryl Streep and Glee.
Hey, it's working, all right?
I feel like there's some under-the-table shenanigans.
Well, yeah. Whatever I have to do. So, but yeah, that's my pick, Melissa Benoist for Janet.
Nice. Dig it. Nice. I love her in Supergirl, and yeah, and I love her range that she shows off in Supergirl. I'm a little bit concerned that it would skew kind of young for the role, but I definitely think she can put on the type of face that a con woman would need to for this role. So
I think that could work to her advantage too. I think her age
and make that's it exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, yep,
give it a little bit more impact, I guess. But
nice.
I mean, she is almost 30.
Yeah, mid 20s, I think. Yep.
I think 28.
Yep.
According to the Google.
Yeah. But let's move on to Andy.
As much as I loved that pick, I also agree that I think she skews a little young for what this role calls for. But I went with someone who's a little bit older, about 10 years older, in fact. And that is Kristen Schaal.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
Interesting.
Thank you. What I liked about Kristen Schaal for this pick is that I could very easily superimpose her into all of the scenes that Glenn Headley originally played Janet Colgate. She seems like she could very easily fall into that sort of like the very first scene in which we see this character is that she has tripped and fallen in the lobby of the hotel and is kind of looking a little bashful. And that seems like right up Kristen Schaal's alley to appear very, I don't want to say vulnerable, that isn't the right word, but very harmless is maybe the word, and an easy mark. And then the twist on that, and, you know, Kristen Schaal, I think, is known, you know, from things like Bob's Burgers. She's done a lot of really interesting voice work. She has a very unique voice that would play well, I think. It would add to that kind of aura of this innocent, harmless, naive creature. And to see that twist at the end, one thing that, as I was rewatching the original is that when Glenn Headley plays, or when the character at the very end, when the twist is revealed, like her voice is different. Which I think, she has kind of in the earlier parts of the film, she also has this kind of high pitched, almost childlike voice, that lends to her appearance of innocence. And I think Kristen Schaal could do that too. And it would be fun to see that twist at the end. So for your consideration, Kristen Schaal as Janet Colgate.
Yeah, that would make the turn that much more impactful. I think that's great.
I would agree with that. I'm not sure that she could do the turn, or at least that I would be convinced by it. But I mean, I love her in comedic roles.
Yeah.
And this is a comedic role. Yeah. Therefore, Mark, you will love her. If A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. But on that note, Mark.
I find flaw in your logic.
I don't care. It's your turn. That case is closed.
To continue to harp on Andy's pick, one of the things I loved about Glenn Headley's performance was that there's that innocence and that naivete for nearly the entire movie, and then when there is that twist and the performance has to turn, you know, Glenn Headley turns on a dime, and she's so convincing. I love it, and I wanted to pick an actress that could. It is honestly just a master of her craft that can be super, super convincing without needing to be over the top expressive. And for that, I picked Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Ooh, good one.
Nice.
Thank you.
A good one.
Yeah, and we know her from such films as Scott Pilgrim versus the World and a recent independent film called Smashed, Sky High, the teenage superhero movie. And she's an amazing villain in that one. It's awesome. But yeah, I think she's a fantastic actress, also a fantastic singer. And I think she could do everything for which this role calls.
Nice. I feel like I haven't seen enough of her. I really want to see the weirdo Cloverfield sequel, that thing with John Goodman.
Right.
I'm intrigued by that.
10 Cloverfield
Lane. I saw that, but who was she in that? There was only like two people in that whole movie.
She was the woman that was captured.
She must have been. Whoever that was.
I promise you it was.
Was outstanding. Because she wasn't the John Goodman role, right?
That's correct.
No, I think that was John Goodman. One.
She is okay. So good. She was Goodman.
She did really well in that movie. And that movie is bizarre and very well done. And I liked it a lot. So by proxy, she did an excellent job.
Nice.
I like her very much, but I just don't see. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing the comedy that I'm looking for that role. I'm not saying she's not a good actress because I think she's a very good actress. I just think Kristen Schaal's better.
That's fair.
I think
opinions are like. Wait, how does that go? Oh, never mind.
No, that's excuses.
Opinions are like apples.
They're delicious.
Like a cow's opinion. It's
and keep the doctor comments. Away.
So yeah, my pick for Janet Colgate, who will deliver a masterful performance of a very funnily written role, is Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Nice,
Kyle. Let's go to you.
Yeah, so I went out on a little bit of a weirdo limb on this one. Speaking of really good singers, I don't know why I picked her. I mean, I do, but I don't really know why. I went with Annie Clark. Who is a singer who goes by the nom de plume Saint Vincent. She's amazing. She's one of the best guitarists around right now.
Mm-hmm.
She is a hell of a personality. Every time I hear her interviewed, she's just great and really lively and really fun. But she's got these huge eyes. Like, she is the epitome of, like, cartoon eyes in a way that I think could be kind of seductive, could be sort of overwhelming, but mostly could just be kind of naive, right? And she doesn't present that in her performance because she commands the stage. But I think if she were in a acting role, I think that she could play bumbling. I think she could play naive. I think she could play all those things, but could just turn on a dime into the person that then takes control of things. You know, when the seduction scene happens, she could totally do that. you know, when the turn happens, when she's kind of being, you know, forgiving or, you know, giving the money back, I think she can do that. So she literally has done no acting aside from music videos, which are amazing.
She has actually got 2 credits and episodes of Portlandia.
Oh, that's true. Good call. True. I forget about that. That's it. That's true. No film acting. But yeah, she is really good in those. She did just direct 1/4 of a horror anthology directed by all females called XX. That's gotten really, really good reviews. So I'm intrigued as heck to see that. But yeah, I don't really know why it came to mind other than all those things I said. But yeah, I'm with you, Annie. You rule. And I think you'd be great with this.
I'm really intrigued.
Thank you.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, she is fantastic, and that I think I can totally see her doing the bumbling thing, like especially that the very first scene where Janet walks in, like trips and falls down, just kind of looks around a little bit, then puts her sunglasses back on. I could totally see Annie Clark doing that.
Yeah. Yep. That's the hope. We shall see come voting time, but that's my hope. Jer, on to you. Who is your Janet?
Well, I forgot how to do this. I picked Adam Scott.
That works.
No, I didn't forget. I've got a master plan that even I don't understand fully yet. But I picked Adam Scott because...
Those are the best kind.
Yes. Same kind of reasons you guys were. I wanted somebody that played sort of naive without being dumb. And Adam Scott's role in Parks and Recreation is exactly what I want. He's kind of goofy and he's kind of bumbling, but he's very smart. And he, when it comes right down to it, he knows how to put a plan together and execute it. Even though he is kind of a little, not dopey, but kind of comes across as a little naive. And so I could picture him as this, small town or, you know, kind of not quite country bumpkin, but somebody who hasn't seen a lot of the world getting this all expenses paid vacation to travel the world and just sort of being completely out of their element and then getting taken advantage of by these con artists. So Adam Scott is my Janet Colgate.
I can't wait to see the rest of this master plan.
Oh, boy.
Did anyone else, when they introduced her as the U.S. soap queen, and I'd totally forgotten about this, but did anyone else think that they meant like soap opera, not literally a company called U.S.
soap? I remember as a kid thinking that's what it meant, like soap opera.
Yeah. Later I was like, huh? Oh, yeah, I guess that was it. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, wow.
Why don't we start a company called U.S. soap?
It's very direct. I appreciate that.
We can market... We could just market a lot of dirty rotten scoundrels merchandise.
What does soap queen mean? Oh, yeah, that's right. Her dad owned,
right? U.S. soap. Kind
of, that's what they thought.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right.
But I just
thought she was like Susan Lucci or something, right? Like that.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, I forgot there was that little tangent of her explaining that she had to mortgage the farm or whatever to pay his medical bills and whatnot. Okay.
Yep.
Moving on.
All right, so the role of Janet, originally played by Glenn Headley. Lee chose Melissa Benoit. Andy chose Kristen Schaal. Mark chose Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I chose Annie Clark. And Jer chose Adam Scott. Up next is the role of Lawrence Jameson. And Andy gets to introduce Sir Lawrence.
I'm sorry, I'm really just still thrown.
Chesterton.
I'm still thrown by the Adam Scott pick. Lawrence Jameson is the master of all he sees. He exudes control over his world, and that control helps him relieve corrupt, rich women of their corruptly gained riches. He initially sees Freddie Benson as a minor nuisance, then a major nuisance, then a co-conspirator. He was originally played by the wonderful Michael Caine, and it's going to be incredibly difficult to replace Michael Caine, but I did. Pause. For too soon, I chose Colin Firth.
Ooh. Okay.
It's a good choice.
Excellent. Thank you. Colin Firth is many things that Michael Caine is also. Number one, British. And that's kind of the sum of my list. But Colin Firth is not only often plays a British person, but he kind of plays a stuffy, upright British person and or a kind of... well-heeled, stuffy, upright British person. See Pride and Prejudice. I like Colin Firth for this role, especially at the age Colin Firth is now, which I should actually look up how old he is. Hold on a second. But he is... I could see him being of an age where he can play this person who is at the top of his game, in fact, is nearing the end of his career, you could kind of assume, as a con man. Colin Firth, by the way, is 56. Would easily be seen as this kind of, you know, person who perceives himself or plays himself to be royalty, to kind of seduce these women out of their money. He can be very funny. I like in that comparison to Michael Caine, I wouldn't have originally picked Michael Caine as a comedic actor prior to this movie. And I still really don't consider him a comedic actor, but I thought he did a fantastic job in this role. And I could see Colin Firth in that same class where he's not initially seen as a comedic actor or as an actor who if he's in a comedic movie, he often plays the straight man. Think of like the Bridget Jones movies. But he still lends a lot of comedy to those roles. So Colin Firth is my choice for Lawrence Fels.
I like it. He's very, very stoic.
Yeah.
You know, very, not quite stiff, but close.
Unflappable.
Yeah.
That's the adjective I was looking for.
He is the quintessential dapper British gentleman.
Which is really what this role calls for. The role of James Chesterton calls for an unflappable, poised British gentleman. And there we have Colin Firth. Thank you.
I like it. Excellent pick.
Thank you.
Good one.
Mark, once again, to you.
Thank y'all. I like to see a little bit more pompousness and sophistication from my Brits in this role. And so I picked a Brit who's very sophisticated and can do very pompous. I picked Ralph Fiennes.
Nice.
Or right Ralph like Fiennes, if you prefer.
Ralph Fiennes. An old favorite.
He mm-hmm. is both British and pompous.
Yes. Yes. And of course, we know him from, well, just damn everywhere. But I prefer to think of him as Lord Voldemort.
Don't we all?
Nice pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. And he also made a fine comedic showing in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh my gosh, he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see that again. That was so great.
That's a great movie.
That movie is a good reference point for the what's the adjective I'm looking for here? Not the pomposity, but like the proper behavior of a gentleman, if that's makes sense. But I don't like it for the kind of frenetic pace of the character, which is really more of a tone of the movie. But I like it as a reference point for that kind of British gentleman sort of mood.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. everything at the cost of your virtue, I guess.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and yes, of course, our remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels wouldn't be frantic, but the sophistication, of course, is that on which we are keying, and I love Ralph Fiennes for that. The scene where he's training Freddy, talking about the wines that you can't drink them; they're much too valuable. I see it; it's perfection. I love it. So I submit to thee, Ralph Fiennes.
It's a good one
for Lawrence. Thank you. Kyle, have at thee.
All right. I'm going to do what I think the kids call flipping you for real. And in the role of Lawrence Jameson, if made today, I would propose that the perfect casting choice, tied in or not to the original, would be none other than Steve Martin himself. I feel like Steve Martin has aged like a fine wine. He has just gotten that much more gentle and soft and suave, yet full of flavor and delicious and really well-regarded around the world. And I really feel like he could be the Lawrence Jameson for a film remade today more than the Freddie Benson.
Are you going to cast him or eat him?
Well, you know, I would say I would devour him with my eyes, but that's about it.
You don't eat actors of this.
Exactly.
Quality.
You don't eat
They're
them.
They're much too valuable.
They're much too
They're much too valuable.
So yeah, I thought that it would be a nice little play. It could be a hell of a reveal. I think it would be a lot of fun. So, and I think Steve Martin would be game. I think he can play that suave, kind of upright Brit type. Or maybe it's an American this time, a suave, upright American.
The nice thing is he looks exactly the same age as he did in 1988.
Kind of. Yes. He's a little bit, he's definitely more distinguished somehow. But yes, so Steve Martin is my guy.
I like it.
I didn't want to do it just for novelty. I truly think it's a really good choice, and it has novelty on its side. So, yes. You know, so I hope that doesn't play against it. I think it's really cool, but I could see how it would. But I think it's awesome.
Okay, so I was just looking up Steve Martin and Michael Caine. How old do you think Steve Martin is right now?
71.
70.
Okay, well, all right, so you guys obviously had his IMDb page up.
No, I didn't. I totally guessed. Is he really 71?
He is 71.
Oh, holy wow. crap, wow. I never guess anything yeah. right.
How old do you think Michael Caine is?
84.
71.
Michael Caine is 84. Yeah, all right. Okay, you guys are. Thanks for taking the wind out of my sails here.
I'm seriously not looking at IMDb right now.
The point is, though, that
was a complete guess.
Not only are you guys horrible liars, you guys are looking at IMDb. That the age difference between those two was much smaller than I thought for a long, long time. I always knew Steve Martin was prematurely gray, but I guess I assumed the age difference between Michael Caine and Steve Martin was bigger than 12 years. I assumed it was more like 20.
And especially because in the movie, they kind of make a point of picking Janet Colgate and saying that she's out of Michael Caine's league because she was too young, thereby insinuating that Steve Martin, she's right in the right age range for Steve Martin to con, but too young for Michael Caine.
Yeah.
And they're not that far apart. I was picturing them a larger discrepancy between the two as well.
Yeah. I'm going to play that up with my Freddy pick, actually. I'm looking to spread that a little bit more age-wise.
And Glenn Headley, who played Janet Colgate originally, is 10 years younger than Steve Martin.
Okay. So there. Thank you for proving my point, Andy, whatever you just said.
I don't... Sure, whatever.
I don't know. No, I agree. Jer, unto you, who is your Lawrence...
Well,
we're like this!
stealing my bit. I also wanted a even though my pick for Janet Colgate is Adam Scott, I wanted a prim and proper dapper English gentleman, something along the lines of the star of Kingsman: The Secret Service, which is a movie that I guiltily love, and I went with Colin Firth.
Nice. Yes.
Double whammy.
I approve.
So I in that movie, and I've seen him on other roles, and he's just a really great actor, but he, in that movie, he plays a very upstanding, very polished, very, just like Lawrence Jameson, the ruler of all that he knows and sees. Like, he commands everything around him. He is consummately in control, and that's what I want out of my Lawrence Jameson. I think that he has just enough of that comedic spark that he could play the straight man, but also when it comes down to his bizarre Liechtensteinian accent for Dr. Emil Schoffhausen, that he would completely commit to that and go all in, and it would just be great.
I'm into it. Good choice.
Colin Firth,
excellent
everyone.
Choice.
Colin Firth. Thank you, Andy. Finally, we have Lee. Lee, who is your James Chesterton?
Well, I went a little, I kind of flipped things with these two characters. I didn't necessarily think that Lawrence Jameson needed to be older. I just wanted someone, like, first and foremost, to exude confidence and be very believable in the fact that he can put on this, air that he's wealthy and that he's very suave and smooth and can bilk these women out of millions of dollars. So I went with Idris Elba.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
I really like your idea of flipping that up and having the young and suave and the old and crotchety.
Yes.
Assuming that's what you're going with your next one.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a really good idea.
And I think it would be an interesting dynamic to have, you know, the younger guy kind of showing the older guy a few things, being, you know, flipping that mentor relationship a little bit. But first and foremost, I thought that Idris Elba, he was kind of the first guy who came to mind when I was thinking about this role, just from, you know, the work that I've seen. Like the first thing I ever saw him in was, I think, season 6 of The Office.
Oh, really?
He was in a few.
Charles Minor.
He had a character arc in that. And then also like Pacific Rim. I just think he's got a lot of charisma, and I think he would be perfect for this role.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. I like him a lot.
Agreed.
Yeah, I love that.
He doesn't seem exceptionally young or exceptionally old. He just seems to be the age that he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And he's younger than I thought he was.
Yeah, mid-40s, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, that's my pick, Idris Elba.
Nice.
Possibly our next Very Bond. Nice.
Mm-hmm. I hope Possibly, so. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Cool. So for the role of Lawrence Jameson, originally played by Michael Caine, Andy and Jer went with Colin Firth. Mark went with Ralph Fiennes. I went with Steve Martin. And Lee went with Idris Elba. The last of our major picks is that of Freddie Benson. Jer, tell us about Freddie.
Yes, Freddie Benson is the arrogant young-ish gadabout from America who believes in conning basically anyone out of anything for a free meal. He's traveling around Europe, living meal to meal off of young women's dimes, and not realizing just how lucrative being a con man can be until he meets Lawrence Jameson. They're like this! He's rude, uncouth, self-absorbed, and not above playing Ruprecht the Monkey Boy for a long con. And this is one of my favorite Steve Martin roles, among many, many excellent Steve Martin roles. He is equal parts frantic, but he also has a lot of moments that are comedic in their quietness. When he is in the wheelchair getting whipped with reeds and has to just keep a straight face the whole time.
He's so happy. He's crying.
It's just some of the funniest. Yeah, it's just so good and so quintessentially Steve Martin. In my remake, I wanted somebody that was going to be able to play a lot of different roles. I would foresee in my remake, I wanted this character to be a lifelong con artist, that somebody who's used to taking on roles, taking on sort of characters, and just being a very good actor in that way. And I would foresee even in the long con part of this movie, even being adopting different roles in kind of not quite a Fletch sort of style, but something along those lines where there's disguises and costumes and hijinks of that sort. So I went with somebody who I think is one of the funniest freaking people out there right now, Kate McKinnon.
Nice.
I just think she would just nail this. manipulating awesome. Adam Scott and learning from Colin Firth the finer things in life, but just really going at this her way, the way that she wants to, and just her as a con woman, con person, con artist, just trying to take people's money from them. I want to watch that movie.
Wow. That's wow.
I like it.
Yeah. I want to watch anything that she does.
Yeah. So. Yeah, totally. No kidding. No kidding. Ghostbusters was a completely forgettable movie except for her.
Yep.
And she didn't even have to do all that much to just win that whole movie over. So, I think she's being not underutilized, but she's not being utilized correctly on Saturday Night Live, and she needs to get out of there and get her movie career rolling, because there's some great roles for her out there, I'm sure, besides Ghostbusters. So that's my pick, Kate McKinnon, Adam Scott, Colin Firth. There you go. Bam.
I'm not sure how Colin Firth is going to compete with her for Adam Scott, but I will totally watch this movie.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
In the movie, it wasn't of a romantic nature until the bet changed at the end. It was simply con this woman out of money, and that could add another little wrinkle to it in that Colin Firth, who's used to getting large sums of money out of young rich heiresses and things, and then this upstart challenges him to get it out of a guy. Or maybe he does try to woo Adam Scott from a romantic nature. I don't know. That's for the writers in Hollywood to figure out. I think there's tons of potential there for a lot of great things.
Still intrigued.
Well put.
Thank you. Kyle, Freddie Benson is?
Freddie Benson is younger than Steve Martin portrays him, although there, I agree with Andy that he does seem like there, it does seem like there is a larger difference between Steve Martin and Michael Caine in the movie than it is in real life. I wanted that to feel even greater. Like, I wanted this to be the young sort of whippersnapper coming into town thinking he can do anything. And for that, I went with Paul Rudd. I think he can do a good job of being nice. Smarmy, playful, childish. He can really do just about anything. And I think he would be a hell of a foil for Steve Martin to play against. And I just think he would do a magnificent job. I just really, really, really want to see him in this role. So yeah. Paul Rudd's my guy.
I totally agree.
I picture Paul Rudd in the tuxedo doing the little, like, snipping the rose and holding the wine and sliding off of the pillar over and over again.
Yes.
I could just see that in my mind, like it's already happened.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I think he is the heir apparent to Steve Martin.
Yeah. That's really hard to say, but I think you're right. I agree.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
Good thing I'm up next.
I do too. Yay. So, Mark, tell us about your Freddy.
My Freddy is a guy named John, and his last name is Krasinski. Not Turturro. That actually, nope. It's gonna be John Krasinski. I really wanted to key on the kind of dopiness, the boisterous personality, the being boorishly American and charming and loud at the same time, and I do like John Krasinski for that. So. Thusly do I submit to you, John Krasinski, for Freddie Benson.
I really want to see more movie work from him. I haven't seen a lot that he's been in, but I do enjoy him a lot.
Yeah, I think he's funny.
I don't know much from him besides The Office, so I can't speak to much beyond that. I saw that terrible movie that he was in with the football movie.
Leatherheads?
Leatherheads. That was bad.
I didn't see it.
Was it George Clooney, right?
Yeah. Clooney, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's too bad. I mean, and he's good in The Office, but he's much better when he's not doing the Jim Halpert smirk all the time. So if you see the movie Away We Go with Maya Rudolph.
Such a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I want to see that one.
It's so good. That'd be more the John Krasinski that I'm after. It turns out that he can be more frenetic, a la Steve Martin. He can be quieter too, but I like but of course I want the freneticism for this one, and he can do it. Turns out,
sweet,
I like it.
That's my pick, John Krasinski for Sean Krasinski for
nailed it.
I think.
Lee, how's your diction?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I didn't, when I was thinking about this role, considering Steve Martin, I never really thought of Freddie Benson as a young character. I just thought he was an older guy who was just less refined than the other guy. I almost considered them to be the same age. But they just got to where they are by very different means. And that Freddie Benson is just the same character. He's just unrefined, and he has managed to get by on his street smarts for many, many years. So going with my formula, I picked Jeff Bridges for this role.
Interesting. that's your crotchety old guy. You nailed it, man.
Because I wanted I definitely wanted someone a little older. And someone who seemed unaffected and, like, unconcerned about everything, yet has this way of charming people and has believable street smarts. So I thought, who better than Jeff Bridges for that?
I am very intrigued by that.
I am also very intrigued.
I really like Idris and Jeff Bridges together too. Like your pairing is really excellent. Whether that, you know, that's a pair that wins or not, I don't know, but like that's awesome. I think that a lot.
Yeah. Yes, I think excellent make an pairing.
Yeah, interesting dynamic between the two of them, I'm sure. So I don't know how well they'd work together, but yeah, we would see.
I think they'd find a way.
Yeah.
it strikes me as a more serious movie.
Hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I think they could
I don't know about that.
Maybe not as much physical comedy. But
yeah, maybe.
Still funny. But
I think the comedy would come much more from the dialogue and the writing.
Yeah. Which I am totally okay with.
Absolutely.
But moving on to our final caster, Andy.
Two words. They both start with A. Aziz.
Aziz Ansari. Man.
Nice.
I picture Aziz Ansari like a monkey climbing all over the shoulders of Colin Firth in this movie. Picture Aziz Ansari as Ruprecht. Yes.
That's good.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you. I love the counterplay between the buttoned up, stuffed upness of Colin Firth and the Freddie Benson unleashed even more of Aziz Ansari. Like Aziz Ansari is totally the guy that's walking through the dining car of the train trying to find his mark to get a free meal. Like his goals are so short term and to meet his immediate needs that he has no idea the world is beyond him. And to see Colin Firth seeing this small time con man coming through, you could practically hear him rolling his eyes at this young upstart. You mentioned that you thought Paul Rudd was the heir apparent to Steve Martin. I would disagree. I would actually say Aziz Ansari is more in that category.
Interesting.
I don't think his comedy and his delivery are the same as Steve Martin.
No.
I think he's tremendously funny and has his own thing that he does exceptionally well. And I did almost pick him for this role, which would have meant we basically had the same picks. So I'm glad I didn't.
Which means we would have shared a win again.
Again. But Ian, I love him, and I can picture much of the same things that you were talking about, just his complete freak out when he realizes that Lawrence Jameson is just trying to show him how not to spend his money or how to spend his money on things that he can't use or do anything with, and him sort of coming to that realization that this guy is just trying to get rid of me and then leaves and freaks out on him about wine you can't drink and
statues of naked men
and gardens that just look like a big giant mowing headache. it would be a great pairing, and he would do well at it. I think he's a great bundle of comedic energy, and he's got tremendous timing.
Why? Thank you.
The physical comedy is spot on. I agree with that.
And this role has a lot of physical comedy to it. The Freddie Benson role specifically. If you think about it.
I did. It's true. I agree.
Yeah. All right. So that wraps up Freddy. And the rest with that, our major character picks. So Freddy was originally played by Steve Martin. Jer went with Kate McKinnon. I went with Paul Rudd. Mark went with John Krasinski. Lee went with Jeff Bridges. And Andy went with Aziz Ansari. Up next, we move on to the minor characters, the first of which is Inspector Andre. Inspector Andre is an inspector named Andre. He's maybe friends with Lawrence. He's definitely on his payroll, which makes the whole friend dynamic a little awkward. Anyways, he's an inspector named Andre. Originally played by Anton Rogers. As you could tell with my description, there wasn't really a whole lot to this role. It was fine. Like, he was just there basically to help Michael Caine out, which, you know, is a noble thing, is an admirable thing, but really wasn't a whole lot to it.
I felt he showed the depth of Lawrence Jameson's power in that town, and then he had essentially the police chief on his payroll.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So basically, I thought, you know, who probably way more stereotypically than I needed to. This as inventive as my Annie Clark was, this is opposite. I was like, who can play a French cop? Oh, and I was like, Jean Reno can do that.
But I know who it is. I bet it's Jean Reno.
So I was like, done, drop, mic drop, everything's we don't fine. Need
to...
So
I would have had two guesses, and the second one would have been Gerard Depardieu.
I know. I thought about that too. Not the same as Jean Reno. So yeah, Jean Reno, just because he's French and he's a cop.
Because of course.
Why go far down the bench when you don't need to?
Exactly. Why mess with perfection?
We don't need to reinvent the wheel here.
Yep. Exactly. Up next is Mark with Fanny. Who's your Fanny, Mark?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would. That's why I asked.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. Okay. Fanny Eubanks is more properly to be addressed as Lady Fanny of Omaha, and she is a sucker. Taken in by Lawrence Kahn early in our story, she serves little other purpose in the narrative aside from believing anything that anyone tells her, especially in regards to her money. She was originally prepared. She was proposed by Barbara Harris and is like all the right kind of gullible, which is perfect for the role. I mostly just wanted to find an actress of a certain age who was just really funny, and I picked Melora Hardin.
Ooh, nice.
Thank you. And we know her from The Office, where she played Jan, who is the corporate executive early on in the series. She's been in a bunch of other stuff, and she actually has tremendous range, which I wouldn't have expected by watching The Office, but she's been in a ton of different stuff, and she does a lot of things really well. But most importantly, for my purposes, she's funny, like really funny. And so that's all I needed from her. She'll do it.
Yeah. Like she's it. Really great in Transparent as well, the Amazon show. She's really totally. Great in that.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite roles of her is in the Zac Efron movie 17 Again. She plays the
really?
She plays the principal of the school, and turns out she's a huge Tolkien fan and speaks fluent Elvish. it's awesome. So yeah, that's my pick for Lady Fanny of Omaha is Melora Hardin.
Nice, good one.
Thank you, Jared. Let's move on to you.
Lastly, in our minor picks is Arthur, who was originally played by Emperor Palpatine himself, Ian McDiarmid. He is Lawrence Jameson's consummate butler, and well, I guess that's pretty much where it ends. He butles. And so in Kyle's or in the Kyle school of picking minor picks, I didn't go very far down the bench at all, and I just went with Michael Caine. Because I feel like if I picked anyone else, it was wrong. So Michael Caine has played a butler, and he has been in this movie. So I don't think that there's anywhere else we need to go.
I like it. You know I do. I'm a sucker for good novelty casting, clearly.
Yeah. The other thought that I had just escaped me, so I'm not even going to talk about it.
Well played.
Sorry.
Was it Tim Curry? Because he also
it
battles.
Was Tim Curry. There it was. Yes, I was going to go with Tim Curry. Was my second choice, but I thought, nah, Michael Caine makes more sense.
All right, so that wraps up our minor picks, and with that, this first episode of our discussion of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That was good. Good picks, everybody. So
I do need to interject something here.
Oh, please.
So, I'm interjecting.
Oh boy.
I had a conversation with someone that I will describe as a Hollywood insider. We'll just leave it at that.
Mm.
That this person had an idea for the casting of the movie, which personally I thought was brilliant. At the end of the movie, Janet Colgate comes in back to Lawrence Jameson's residence with a large group of what appear to be Greek tourists or investors, kind of a large hodgepodge of people that don't really have much of a purpose. But this person thought it would be funny to have in this group of people all of the original cast of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Steve Martin, Michael Caine, all of them, Lady Fanny, Lawrence, Inspector Andre, Emperor Palpatine.
I love that idea.
So that was...
That'd be great.
So
I would love to see that.
There we are. I like it.
Nice. It's like the culmination of novelty casting.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Anything? Any other interjections, Wickles?
No, I'm good, thanks.
All right, excellent. Anytime, my friend, anytime. So on the next
part of our discussion. Well, I do have one
more thing. I'm kidding. Oh, boy.
Jesus. Save your umbrage for later.
Yeah, too soon, sorry.
In the second half of our episode, we'll be talking about the tech and filmmaking changes, plot things that we loved, didn't love, maybe performances, all that fun stuff. So stick around for that. Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you will find show notes with links to all the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Google Play and iTunes, where you can rate and review Remakers Mark, which would mean the world to us. We are on both Facebook, search for Math is Hardnet, and Twitter, at Remakers Mark, so please join in on the discussion there, too. So, gentlemen, until the next time, I hope you don't get conned, or if you do, that you're on the good side of it, whatever that might be.
Con Air!
Until then, may the Nicolas Cage be with you.
And also with you.
With you.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
I love that Steve Buscemi is the normal one.
Yeah.